almost a year ago, documents were released following a Freedom of Information request about a court case involving Swiss herbicide maker Syngenta. What was in those unsealed documents shocked some people, including University of California Berkeley biologist Tyrone Hayes. He had been targeted by the company to be discredited because his research on their product, atrazine, had shown that it transformed male frogs into fully functioning reproductive females. Tyrone Hayes is in Hawaii to talk about the unintended consequences of agricultural chemicals. We spoke yesterday, and I asked him what happened to him in this last year.
Oh, it's been a busy year. It's been a busy year because the research is going very well. We are still uncovering a lot of problems with atrazine and other pesticides and linking it to the human condition. In terms of me personally, it's been quite a whirlwind. So I'm still going through some of the documents, still in disbelief at some of the extent to which the manufacturer was able to go to try to get to me. It obviously wasn't the science that they were after. It was me. And it's, really gotten a lot of attention in the public. There's documentary filmmakers and filmmakers that are interested in developing the story, and I hope that'll help get the information out and available to more people.
And might fund some more research. For you, as you look at the future, now not just with those projects that you just named, but looking at how you want to refine your research, you mentioned that we're now looking at the links to humans. What specifically are you working on now?
Well, there are a number of studies coming out now showing that atrazine is associated with, we already knew about the breast cancer and the prostate cancer concerns, but there's a lot of studies now focusing on birth defects in women who are exposed to atrazine during their pregnancy, leading to a number of birth defects and abnormalities. Probably the most notable are the abnormalities to the male genitalia. So babies, male babies, boys who are exposed to atrazine, in the womb come out with abnormal penises and non-descended testicles, which, that effect is consistent with how we know atrazine works.
And being correlated to places in which you know where atrazine was sprayed?
Yes, so these are studies that are coming out across different places in the United States, and the information is that during women who get pregnant during peak atrazine contamination times tend to have more of these birth defects and abnormalities at birth.
So, for example, in the Midwest, where it's used a great deal on corn?
Yes. There are people looking at in Indiana and Iowa. There are a number of ongoing studies still examining those correlations.
When can we expect to see some of these studies?
Some of them are already published. So there's one study showing that atrazine is associated with gastroschisis, and that's a birth defect where the baby is born with the intestines on the outside of its body. There's another paper that's been published showing that atrazine is associated with coital atresia when babies are exposed in utero. And that's a birth defect where the oral and the nasal cavity don't close up, so the baby has a hole in its face. And then most recently, a study just came out showing that male babies are born with something called microphallus, where the penis doesn't grow, non-descended testicles, where the scrotum is empty, or hypospadias, where the urethra doesn't come all the way through the penis. And all of those conditions are associated with atrazine exposure in utero when the mother's pregnant.
Specifically to you, what do you want to be doing from this point forward?
For me, I really want to continue to explore atrazine as a tool to understand science, to understand developmental biology of amphibians, but I also want to continue to use my work to examine how atrazine and other pesticides in the environment are affecting things like the rate of breast cancer and breast cancer mortality and prostate cancer and low sperm count. So I want to, continue to expand that work to look at how chemicals that we've created are, supposedly to help us, are actually hindering our health. And really, I think the most atrocious thing is affecting the unborn fetus, so babies who come out and don't even have the same kinds of chances as others. And I'm particularly interested in how, minorities and people from low-income communities are more likely impacted and really trying to get rid of that disparity.
As you do all of this, that's going to bring you right up against a great deal of companies who are still engaged in doing exactly what they are doing, making other chemicals to be used in the ways that we've been using them for quite a while. Do you have any concern for your personal safety even after all of these other documents were unsealed last year?
Well, I think the thing that gives me comfort is that, for the last 15 years, Syngenta has spent millions of dollars and countless hours, one, trying to poke holes in my science, and they couldn't. And two, digging into my background, trying to find, you know, there are all these notes that they wrote about trying to link me to a scandal and trying to set traps to entice me to do things, and they were not unable to do that. So I think, as I said to someone earlier, I've been tested by the best. I have no fear of the rest. I'm here to do a job, and I'm going to get that job done.
I want to talk to you about the job that you see that Hawaii needs to do. How would you peg where Hawaii is now in its understanding of some of the issues that you like to talk about?
Wow. I've just started learning about Hawaii. There's a big concern because of the watershed. You know, it's an island, right, where fresh water is incredibly important. I'm just learning now the extent to which the pesticide and the big agribusiness have impacted Hawaii, and the amount of land and the amount of pesticides and the amount of GMOs that are really being tested here. So, and it's just such a beautiful but yet also fragile environment, as we know, that it raises great concern both for the wildlife as well as for the people and the culture. So I'm very excited to be a part of it. I've been here a few times, as you may know, and I'm very excited to be here and to be a part and to be able to offer my experience and my information and my expertise.
We were regarded in some ways as being sort of ground zero for GMO legislation in the last year or so, and we've seen how that's played out and some of that coming back to court. There are ways in which the community has responded to all of that. Do you think that there's any sort of mistake that the community has been making as it approaches coming up against a giant like Monsanto?
No, I'm very happy. I've been following the news. I've been following the information. I have lots of friends in Hawaii. I've worked with some of the lawyers here that are working on these issues. And one of my former students works with Pesticide Action Network, so I followed some of the information and some of the news coming out of Hawaii. I think that Hawaii, it would be in Hawaii's best interest to look at some of the battles that have happened, for example, in Minnesota and in Tasmania and other places where chemical companies have fought people who are trying to clean up the environment and trying to stop both GMO and pesticide use in their communities.
And what do you think the basic lesson that we might take from them in a way that we haven't taken lessons before?
Well, I mean, as you mentioned earlier, the companies aren't going to stop. They're really going to try to play on this idea that they are growing food to feed the world, which, is just not the case. I mean, that's not the interest of the agribusiness. If you look at, globally, 20% of the world dies because they don't have access to staples. And in the United States, for example, our major crop is corn, of which we directly eat less than 2% of. It's really about profits and making money. It's not about maybe there's somebody in the company who really cares about feeding the world, but I think ultimately it's all about money, just in the way that we do business. So they're really protecting their profit, not protecting any kind of thing that's good for society, good for people. At least that's my opinion.
Thanks so much for making time for us. I know your schedule is packed, and we appreciate the fact you're able to spend a little time with us this morning.
Well, thank you very much.
Tyrone Hayes is professor of integrative biology at the University of California, Berkeley. He's best known for his findings that Swiss chemical company Syngenta's herbicide atrazine is an endocrine disruptor. Dr. Hayes is also an advocate for critical review and regulation of pesticides and other chemicals that may cause adverse unintended health effects. He's in Hawaii on a statewide speaking tour. More about it is on our Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation.